Today will be the last message in a series of broadcasts on the subject, What Happens When One Comes to Christ? To be sure, all that happens has not been mentioned, but the few precious truths presented, I pray, God will use in blessing to every listener. Today I wish to speak of a few more of the wonderful blessings given to those who come to Christ, and would begin by having us turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. The words are addressed to the newly born again believers and to all the children of God, of whatever age, who have come to Christ. In verse 4 we read, To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed or rejected, indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Then the words are turned to those who have come to this rejected living stone. Verse 5 tells us this, Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. First, then, we learn that those who come to Christ are made to be living stones and built up a spiritual house. By nature, we are all dead stones. When we come in faith to Christ, we are made to live with eternal life in Him, and we become part of the house of God. Now, in Ephesians 2:19-22, Paul speaks of the same blessing. I will read those verses. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Now this household of God is the same Peter writes of, a spiritual house, composed of believers, all of whom have life in Christ and are termed to be living stones, linked to one another and held together by Christ the chief cornerstone, elect and precious. 1 Peter 2:6. And this spiritual house is a holy priesthood. Do you realize, dear fellow believer, that the moment you come to Christ, you become a holy priest? A priest is one who has a privilege of access to God. The youngest believer has this privilege to come into God's presence and offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. The one who comes to Christ can draw near to God in virtue of the sacrifice of Christ and bring to God the sacrifice of praise. Hebrews 13:15 tells it like this, By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That's priestly function. We need no other mediator to God the Father save our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is by him that we approach, praise, and worship God the Father. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. This is what the Bible says, 1 Timothy 2:5. Christ is the only mediator we need. And those who come to Christ have him as their way of approach to a holy God. And in approaching God, thus through Christ, we exercise our holy priesthood. Oh, what a blessing that the one who comes to Christ is immediately constituted a priest to draw near to God. Hebrews 10:19 unfolds the truth in these wonderful words. Turn to the passage and read with me, please. Hebrews 10:19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a great high priest over the house of God, let us, that is, his holy priests, draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, that is, the water of the Word. My dear listening friend, are you aware of this blessing? That if you are saved, if you have come to Christ in faith, you are a priest unto God and are privileged to go directly to Him in worship, praise, and prayer in the name of and through the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our priesthood too will continue in eternity. In Revelation 5:9, where the future is projected, we learn the song of the redeemed. And I quote, "They sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God a kingdom of priests, and we shall reign over the earth." That'll be during the millennium. Friend, have you learned this song? Let me ask, are you a priest unto God? But now let us turn back to 1 Peter 2:9. Remember, we're talking about what is true of everyone who has come to Christ. Read the verse with me, 1 Peter 1:9. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people," or "a people for his possession, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Now, as well as being a holy priest, the one who comes to Christ is a royal priest. Holy priesthood has to do with offering praise and worship to God. Royal priesthood has to do with service and testimony of the excellencies of Christ to men. Upon believing, one is called out of the darkness of sin and unbelief from Satan's realm, and he's brought into the marvelous light of God's presence. The one who comes to Christ receives him, of whom we read, "In him is life, and the life is the light of men." The one who comes to Christ is, as Paul writes in Ephesians 3:8, and I quote, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." When one comes to Christ, it is also as Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4:6, "For God, who commandeth the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts for the shining forth of the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." As royal priests, then, we have the light of Christ in our hearts in order to show forth, to have it shine forth from us, to shine forth the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. God leaves us in this world of darkness that we may shine as lights in the world. The light would be the glories of the person of Christ Jesus our Lord. Now the Lord Jesus is now in heaven, but he has his royal priesthood on earth to represent him, to show him forth in all the various colors of the spectrum of the light of God, who is both light and love. The moment one is saved, the one who comes to Christ is thus made a royal priest to live royally as Christ lived, and this by allowing him to live in and through us. Though the world won't read the Bible, it will read the Christian. My friend, let us live royally by reckoning ourselves dead in Christ's death and alive in his resurrection, and then yielding ourselves to him that his light will shine through us. And you know, the darker the days become, the more brightly the light of Christ will shine through his royal priests in testimony to those in need of that light of life. This truth is brought out in another way in Philippians 2, beginning at verse 12, and I read, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings or disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the children of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." That's the function, you see, of our royal priesthood. This displays Christ, his excellencies, and brings light to those who are engulfed in the darkness of sin and unbelief. Now, turning back to 1 Peter 2:11, we shall notice two more things that happen when one comes to Christ. I'll read the verse. Verse 11, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Those two words, strangers and pilgrims, I draw attention to. That's what those who come to Christ become. You see, when we come to Christ, as we have seen in a previous message, we were born from above, and heaven became our fatherland. Heaven became our home. In Philippians 3:20, we read our conversation, or more correctly, our citizenship, is in heaven. We've had a change of country. But the Lord leaves us here in this world, which is no longer our own home, but he leaves us here as ambassadors for him, 2 Corinthians 5:20. An ambassador is one who represents his own country in a foreign land. Now, being saved out of the world severs us from the world. For we are in Christ, who is out of it. We are in him, identified with him in his death, resurrection, and ascension. And in Ephesians 2:6, we read that even now we are counted by God to be seated in Christ in heavenly places. So here in the world we have become strangers. And the world knoweth us not, even as it knew him not, 1 John 3:1. And hence, while we are here as ambassadors, we take on the character of a pilgrim. A pilgrim is not a wanderer. No, a pilgrim has a goal before him. And we who have come to Christ have a goal before us. We're simply passing through this world and soon to pass out of it to be forever with the Lord in the Father's house that he has prepared for us. In the Old Testament, we read of Abraham being a stranger and a pilgrim in his day. He had his tent, no permanent abode, and he had his goal. We read, and I quote, "He looked for the city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God," Hebrews 11:10, and that is the future New Jerusalem. And we too, who have come to Jesus, are not of the world, even as Jesus said, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Our blessed Lord himself was a stranger and a pilgrim here, and we are called upon to follow his steps in that regard. Hence, you see, strangers and pilgrims we become when we come to Christ. But, blessed be God, we are not strangers to him. He has said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." He knows everyone that has put his trust in him. And when we reach the glory, God will be no stranger God to us. We shall know even as we are known. And two, our pilgrim journey will come to an end. We shall be at home with the Lord and his redeemed forever and ever. Now, there are many more blessings we receive when we come to Christ, but I trust the few we have considered in these last messages will at least be an incentive to further read and search the Scriptures daily to see whether these things are so or not, and then to continue to dig into the Word of God in all the earnestness of looking for hidden treasure, such as it is. One could have all the treasures of this earth and possess all the wealth of the world, but let me remind us that the world passes away and the lusts or desires thereof. Nothing is of lasting value which is of earthly glory and material possession. Riches take wings and flee away, or else we quickly, suddenly pass away in death and can take nothing whatever with us. Only what we possess in Christ has true, satisfying, and eternal value. Oh, let me ask, has my listening friend come to Jesus? If not, my prayer is that you'll be drawn by His love and power, and by His Spirit and Word, to come now, and let Him receive you and give you eternal life, and all the blessings that He has acquired by His work on the cross of Calvary for you. Do you ask how you can come? Well, come just as you are, confessing your sins to Him and believing that He died for you and rose again, and tell Him that. He will receive you to be His possession, and you will thus receive Him and possess eternal life forever. Oh, my friend, do come now. Delay no longer. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.